Open up to Matthew chapter 5. That's where we've been the last few weeks. That's where we're going to be for several more weeks. And then we're going to go into Matthew 6 and then Matthew 7. See, we're on a journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is calling us, his church, his bride, to live upside down. The Sermon on the Mount is the core reality of the kingdom of God. We've talked about how the Sermon on the Mount is like the constitution of the kingdom of God. We have a constitution for this nation. It tells us all the liberties and what it looks like to be a citizen of this nation. The Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of God's kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is an expression and a very clear picture of Jesus' worldview, how he sees reality. So pretty important that we would understand what Jesus sees as reality and what he really truly has for us. Sermon on the Mount, it's our call to live upside down. We're in the Beatitudes. This is where Jesus is teaching us, the church, how to enjoy true happiness, real happiness. We had a raise of hands a couple weeks ago. How many people want to be happy? Everybody raise your hands. Everybody wants to be happy. But there's a fake, cheap, artificial, sweet and low kind of happiness that you can get, that the world offers. Then there's the real deal. The real deal, happiness in God. And Jesus is just very clearly laying it out, how to be truly happy in God. Let's stand and read the Beatitudes again together. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 3. Let's all read together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You may be seated. Each of these eight Beatitudes starts with the same word, blessed. Again, the Greek word is makarios. And it's talking about happiness. Jesus is saying, happy in God, that's what makarios means. Happy in God are people who live this way, who are this way, who adopt this kind of view and this kind of lifestyle. Happy in God, makarios. And what we're seeing Jesus lay out is this progression of how to be a child of God, how to be a follower of Christ, how to enjoy true happiness. And so we're going to continue through these Beatitudes, get this Beatitude attitude as we've talked about. And today we're in the third Beatitude. It's blessed or happy in God are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy in God are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We're going to answer three questions this morning. Question number one, what is meekness? You know, we've already talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. We understand what being poor in spirit is. Doesn't mean that you think you always have this kind of fake humility and detestable thoughts about yourself. That's not being poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is understanding we have nothing to bring to God. That we are completely bankrupt. We have nothing to offer Him. And so we need a Savior. And happy in God are those who come to that realization that they need Jesus. And then we find out happy in God are those who mourn. What is mourning? What does it mean to mourn? It means to have true, real, godly sorrow for our sin. Because when we have real godly sorrow and we go to God with it and we lay it at His feet, it disappears. And we walk away happy in God. It's good to know what it means to be poor in spirit, what it means to really mourn. And it's good that we understand what it means to be meek. What is meekness? Jesus didn't say, blessed are the weak. Although the beauty is in our weakness, he shows himself strong. But when Jesus is laying out this beatitude lifestyle, he didn't say, blessed are the weak. He said, blessed are the meek. The world often will say that being meek is being weak. If you're meek, you're weak. But meekness is actually the exact opposite of weakness. My favorite definition of meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. Meekness. Blessed are those who have their strength under control. Let's keep talking about this. See, the Greek culture, they use the same word that Jesus used here in this beatitude. The Greek word is praus, P-R-A-U-S, praus. And they would use that word to describe a very strong, powerful beast, like a horse. Here's a picture of a Clydesdale. That's a very strong, powerful animal. And the Greeks would use the word praus to describe this kind of powerful beast that has been tamed and is completely submissive and obedient to his master. Praus, strength under control. That's a picture of strength under control, submissive, obedient to his master. Meekness. Two men in the Bible were called meek. Two guys. One was Moses, and the other was Jesus. Looking at Moses, he exhibited great strength and courage, didn't he? Could you call Moses weak? You can't. Read the story about Moses. Moses was not a weak man. Great courage, great strength. He went and he was used by God to free the whole nation of Israel out of 400 years of slavery. He went before the Pharaoh, speaking the words of God, warning the Pharaoh what would happen if he didn't let the people of God go. He went in courage and in strength. He operated. But his strength was under control. You see, he was completely submissive to God. He was on a mission from God. I find it interesting. Jesus in the Beatitudes says, blessed are the meek, those who have strength under control. And he says, for they shall inherit the earth, right? That's what we're talking about this morning. They shall inherit the earth. Okay, so you have this guy named Moses, who's called meek in the Word of God, and he walks in strength and courage under the control of God, and what's the result when he walks in meekness like that? The people of God inherited the earth. They were freed from slavery, and they inherited the promised land. I think that's incredible. That's just another picture that this is a biblical truth, a biblical reality throughout the Word of God. That those who say, I'm gonna walk in real meekness, not in weakness, not all bent over and crawling around and afraid in weakness like that. No, but in true meekness, I'm going to stand up in the strength of God, submissive to Him, and do what God's calling me to do in faith, that there is a result. People of God will inherit the earth. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So you got Moses, who was called meek. Then you have Jesus. Jesus was actually the meekest person ever to walk on this earth, and nobody can call Jesus weak. Tim talked about it earlier during our time of worship, how Jesus endured the cross, the beating, the punishment, the abuse that he went through, willingly went through that. That is not weakness. To be able to go to that cross, great strength, great courage. He endured the cross. He shed his blood. He defeated sin. He overcame the grave. That strength, ultimate strength displayed by Jesus, the man who is called meek. Strength under control. See, Jesus displayed his meekness because he was in complete submission to his heavenly Father. Remember in the garden, the night that he was betrayed? He's crying out to his heavenly Father, "Can you take this cup from me? Can we change the last chapter of this story? Because I know you've shown me what's about to happen. You've shown me just the abuse I'm about to take, the pain I'm about to endure. You've shown me that. I know it. Is there any way to change this last chapter?" And then Jesus displays meekness and he says, "But not my will, but yours be done." But I'm not going to push my way and what my flesh is feeling right now. I'm going to completely submit myself and yield to you, Father. The meekest man to ever walk on this earth, Jesus Christ. Ultimate strength. Isaiah 53:7. Jesus, he was oppressed and afflicted. It's a prophetic word about Jesus. This is meekness. This is what it looks like. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Strength under control, yielded to the will of his Father. Meekness. I like Matthew Henry's explanation of what it means to be meek in his commentary. This is what Matthew Henry says meekness looks like. He says that the meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to his word, and to his rod, who follow his directions and comply with his designs and are gentle towards all men, who can bear provocation without being inflamed by it, are either silent or return a soft answer, and who can show their displeasure when there is occasion for it without being transported into any indecencies. God help me in that. Who can be cool? These are the meek. Those who can be cool when others are hot. And in their patience, keep possession of their own souls. When they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. They are the meek, who are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified, and who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having the rule of their own spirits. The meek. Those are the meek. See, meekness, it's curbing our natural desires. You know what I'm talking about? Curbing those natural desires to rebel, to fight, to have our own way, to push ourselves forward. Those natural desires we have to rebel, to do things our way, to do it our way. Meekness is saying, no, I'm not going to give in to those desires. I'm not going to give in to those tendencies that are of the past, that are the old man. I'm saying no to those things. Meekness is submitting to the will of God in complete obedience. And so, you can see, happy in God are the meek. Those who understand their spiritual poverty, those who mourn over their sin, and those who are willing to submit their lives to the will of God. Again, what is meekness? It's strength under God's control. So how do we get it? It's question number two. How do we get this meekness? Because I want to be happy in God. I want to walk in strength, but I want it to be under control. I don't want it to be out of control, hurting people. I want it to be under God's control because I want to accomplish what God wants to accomplish and has dreamed and envisioned for my life. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to hide. I want to walk in confidence in God, but I want to do it under His control and not walk in my flesh at all. So how do we get meekness? Well, let me tell you this. We're not born with it. You're not. You're not born with meekness. It's not a personality trait. A lot of people think, well, what's his personality? Oh, he's meek. Meekness is not a personality trait. It's not in us. You know what I'm saying? It's not in us. It's not something that we can manufacture either. The only way we get meekness is we get it from God. That's the only way. We get it from God. Now check this out. Meekness is actually a byproduct. It's a result of being filled with God. That's how it happens. How do we start to see meekness displayed in our lives? How do we start to see that old rebellion start to disappear and submission to God and walking in this kind of strength under control kind of life? It happens when we allow ourselves to be filled with God and living for Him. Spirit-led, Spirit-living kind of people. How do we know this? Because Paul told us this is what it looks like. This is one of the byproducts, the results of being filled with God in Galatians 5. When he's talking about the fruit, the result of being Spirit-filled people. Go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. The result of being Spirit-filled people is this. You're going to demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And what's the next one? Verse 23. Gentleness. Wait a minute. Where's meekness? Gentleness. I believe in our modern translations, we're using that word gentleness instead of meekness because modern man doesn't understand meekness. I'm going back to that. Again, modern man thinks meekness is weakness. But that word gentleness has the same Greek root that meek has in the third beatitude. Praus, this word here, gentleness, is praotes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. I'm just saying that so that we understand that a fruit of the Holy Spirit, a result, a byproduct of being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, not in our own flesh, making up our own decisions, how we're going to live and what we're going to do and how we're going to spend our time and resource and everything, but instead being fully submitted to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to fill us and actually just live in us and through us to where we exude God, to where God's just pouring in us and out of us into other people's lives. When we live that way, a result of that kind of living is meekness in our lives, strength under control. That's pretty cool. It's not something that we have to manufacture. It's not something that we can manufacture. It's not something that we can strive for in our own strength in any way. I just want to be a meek person and I'm going to make it happen. No, it won't happen. But if you say, hey, I'm going to live for God and God alone and let Him fill me to the full and be His and let Him be mine and live that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life, the result will naturally be meekness that will become evident in and through your life. That's how God operates. Can't strive for it. Surrender to Him. And so we see meekness as a result, a byproduct of being filled with God. So to answer our question, how do we get meekness? We get meekness from God, specifically from the Holy Spirit is what Paul is teaching us here in Galatians 5. We get meekness from being filled with the Spirit. Again, like Jesus demonstrated that meekness by submitting Himself to the will of His Father, we become meek by submitting ourselves on a daily basis, on a daily, moment-by-moment basis to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God. We just sang about Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The triune God, God in three persons, the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit, when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who Jesus, when He went to sit at the right hand of His Father in heaven as He ascended, after doing His work on this earth and saving mankind, goes and He ascends to be with His Father and He sends God, the Holy Spirit, to fill us so that we could live the beatitude kind of life. There's no other way to live it. You can't think your way into being a beatitude person. You can't study your way into being a beatitude person, although our thoughts matter. And our study of God's Word really matters. Because as we study His Word, our mind gets renewed, we start thinking differently, we start thinking God's way, and the rest comes in order. But the only way to actually live and experience the beatitude life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way around it. Any other way, you're going to get less than. None of us want less than. None of us want the cheap imitation, the halfway stuff. I don't want to settle for that. I don't want my church family to settle for that. I don't want the body of Christ overall to settle for that. And I feel like too often we settle. We settle because we just want to go so far with God. We just want to go, I'll go this far, but I'm not going to go all the way, because if I go all the way, then I lose total control, and I don't want to lose total control because I kind of like this other stuff, and what happens if I really get rid of that other stuff? And oh no! And so we just always have a hold on something over here, and we miss the fullness. We miss what Jesus is talking about. And so we have Christians walking around that are unhappy, that are feeling beat up all the time, tired, depressed. And I understand it. The world's hard. And I have some bad weeks. I confessed one last week, okay? But in the end, that never has to be a life sentence. It never has to be the norm. That old yuck, that down, that always feeling tired and beat up. That never should be the norm. Because we are being filled with God daily. And we're opening up our lives daily for God to fill us, to fill us, to fill us, to fill us, to fill us. And we're emptying out the other stuff. And we're letting Him wash out the other stuff and purge us of the other stuff. And when that happens, guess what? We're going to be people who find happiness. Not a happiness that the world says you're going to be happy. Because you're going to have all this money and all these things, and you're just going to be able to chill out and sit on the beach, you know, every day. That's just whatever. That's so temporary. I'm talking about a happiness, a wholeness, a fullness of peace with God. Happy in God are those that just say yes to God every day, every moment. I need you, God. If we allow the Holy Spirit to control our actions and our reactions, then we're displaying meekness. Not weakness, but meekness. Therefore, we got to be Spirit-filled people who walk by the Spirit. We have to be. We have to be. There's a lot of people who are afraid of this, even this term, Spirit-filled. You know, what does that mean? I don't know. Sounds kind of ooh. Jesus Himself and the whole New Testament is all about being Spirit-filled people. That's the Christian life. There's no other way to it. There's no other way. Spirit-filled living is not something, though, that appears or happens because we said a prayer and we walked forward years ago. Yes, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the deposit of the Holy Spirit. But that's the deposit of the Holy Spirit ensuring our salvation. Notice, God's Word didn't say you get the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled living is not just a state of mind or some theological construct. It's not. It's not just some kind of happy thought that we talk about. Oh, we're Spirit-filled people. Yeah, now let's go do life the way we want to do life. Spirit-filled living is a daily choice. And I want to even go further than what I even wrote earlier this week. It's a moment-by-moment choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice to totally surrender to God and to allow Him to fill us, allow Him to move and to have His way in our lives. It's a moment-by-moment decision to be fully and completely surrendered to Him and Him alone. Always ready to change directions as He leads. Always ready to let go as He says let go. Always ready to move forward as He says move forward. Always ready to be used by Him when He says go minister. Go speak this word over this person. Go pray for this person. Being filled with God. It's letting Him be in charge. I know it. Our flesh is really afraid of that kind of living. That's our flesh. We don't walk by the flesh anymore, but by the Spirit. Now that is a choice that we need to make. Who's going to lead us around? Yeah, I'm just thinking about those old scenes where they would have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. And they'd be whispering different things into the person's ears, right? One, the angel, of course, telling them to do the right thing. The devil telling them to do the wrong thing. That's the spirit and the flesh. Who are you going to choose? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to listen to? If you're in Christ Jesus, if you've really surrendered your life to Him, you can hear the voice of your shepherd. And you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But we must choose to then follow Him. And do this to that little devil. Or maybe that. Kind of like we've been doing to the mosquitoes lately, right? Smash him and then flick him off like that. Anyway. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people will exhibit the strength of God. Let me say it again. I use the word will. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people will exhibit the strength of God because we will be under His control. And He's strong. All right, question number three we're going to answer. What does meekness bring? Jesus says that the meek will inherit the earth. But inheritance is more than just owning something or having possession of it. Jesus is talking about meek actually having dominion over the earth. Dominion. Not just temporary residency or anything like that, but dominion over the earth. And if you look at this word earth, what it actually means is dust. And so the meek will have dominion over the dust. And then we can go a step further and we can go, well, dust, yeah, we understand that we, the Word of God says, came from dust. And the flesh is often referred to as dust. We came from dust and to dust we will return. Our flesh, referring to our flesh. And so one way that we can look at that is, what does meekness bring? It brings control or dominion over our flesh. When we are Spirit-filled people, allowing God to fully fill us and lead us and guide us, and we're submissive to Him, a result is dominion over our flesh, to where it no longer controls us and leads us around, but we say, boom, we're in charge because God's in charge. And this is how it's going to be. Meekness, strength under God's control will bring freedom in your life. It'll change things in your life. Meekness. Blessed and happy in God are those who are filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. That's my paraphrased version of the third beatitude. Paul talked about that in Romans 8, either the flesh or the spirit, right? If you're meek and controlled by the Holy Spirit, then you will have dominion over your flesh. It's real freedom. It's real life. It's not just some theological thought. This is reality. Of Christian living and living upside down and living God's way and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Additionally, there's a day when God's meek people will inherit the actual physical earth. We will have dominion over this earth. Read the Word of God. There is a new heaven and a new earth that are coming. A year ago, January, we started and we went through the whole book of Revelation and we talked about that. About how amazing God's plans are and how He is bringing a new earth and how we're going to be living in resurrected, perfect bodies in the flesh. Some people think flesh, you know, like the physical, there's something like less in the physical, and like the physical is bad or something like that. The physical is not bad because God created the physical and he said it's good. And he created man, oh, very good. And so in the end, we're going to have a new earth where all the garbage that happened because of sin is going to be wiped away. It's going to be gone. We're going to have a new perfect earth as God intended it to be, and we're going to be walking around in perfect resurrected bodies. And that's going to be our inheritance also, because we're meek. And why are we meek? Because we're walking with God and allowing him to fill us. And we're submitting every moment of every day to him. And our inheritance is the earth. Revelation 3:21 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." It's a pretty nice inheritance. Revelation 2:26, "To him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them." Revelation 5:10, "He's made us kings to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus said to them in Matthew 19:28, "Assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me," this is the man who just preached the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, told us how to follow him, "you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Dominion over the earth. Luke 19:17 through 19. He said to him, "Well done, good servant." It's going to be a glorious day. "Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, you have authority over 10 cities." And the second one came saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas." Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities." There's an inheritance that comes to those who come into agreement with Jesus' worldview, who choose God's way, and who will submit their lives to the Lord. Not just play games with God. Not add them on like I talked about earlier, like a little Lego. You just kind of click, add God onto your life, and go, "Woo, all right, here we go." No, no, no. But I'm talking about full surrender. We sang about that earlier. Giving it all to the Lord. Happy in God are the meek. Happy are those controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they will inherit the earth. I want to conclude with a quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, "The meek man is not a human mouse, afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is as weak and helpless as God declared him to be. But paradoxically, he knows all the same that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. But listen to this. In God, everything." That is his motto. That's the motto of those who choose God's ways and choose meekness of submitting ourselves to the Lord, letting him lead us, guide us, and fill us. Pretty exciting way to live. Very exciting. We have a little bit of extra time because we didn't have our time of prophetic words and testimonies and things earlier. We did that on purpose because we wanted to save a little bit of time here at the end of the service, because I want us to respond to this message. You know, it's so easy just to hear a message and go, "Wow, that was great. The words of Jesus. And yeah, that makes sense. Now I'm ready to go about my life and move on." But I want us to begin to process, what does it look like to respond to God in this way, in a way that a meek person responds to God? What does meekness look like? Would you like to spend a little bit of time here yielding to the Holy Spirit? Submitting to him? Letting God be God of our lives? Right here, right now? I just invite you to get in that place right now where you're focusing on the Lord. You're quieting your heart. If you'd like to, you can raise your hands and surrender to the Lord even right now. And get on your knees if you'd like to. However you want to posture yourself. Just want to encourage us. Let's become those meek people right now. Submitting ourselves to the Lord. Allowing ourselves to be filled by Him. If you'd like to, I want to invite you to pray something with me. If you feel comfortable with these words that I'm praying out, you can pray them quietly between you and God or out loud if you'd like to after me. Say, Holy Spirit, I submit to you. I yield to you. You are God. I love you. I need you. I want more of you. Holy Spirit, fill me anew. Right here, right now. Fill me anew. Baptize me in you, Holy Spirit. Flood over my life right now. I make room for you. Guide me. Lead me. Pour out your gifts in me, Holy Spirit. I am yours and you are mine. I encourage you to let God move in you right now. I encourage you to tune your ear to Him, even right now.